Welcome back to The Drop, the contest edition. My name is Stace Galbraith, and this week, once again, I'm going to be joined by none other than the unholy potato himself, Mr. Mikey C. He's ripping on the latest joyride up on the site. If you haven't seen that, go and get around it. And he's been on fire when it comes to calling the contest winners. We've just got Portugal a couple of days away from a start. A couple of waves, big Atlantic storm on the way, and then hopefully some good waves at the end of the event. But before we jump into that, we're going to give a quick update on the latest ISA event that was won by Gabriel Medina and Team Brazil, and also Team Brazil taking out the women's event as well. The individuals won by Sally Fitzgibbons. But we're going to break all that down in this episode. We're going to give you some underdogs, some overdogs for the Portugal event, and keep you posted on Mikey C's quest to be the gambler of the year. Let's drop in.
Stacey Galbraith, can you believe it's already Portugal?
No, I can't actually. It's come around really quick. What I also can't believe, I feel like it's one of those situations where you've driven, like, you know, 300 meters to go to the shop and get bread and milk. Like, we're 40 minutes apart and we're still not recording together. I feel guilty about that. But that's okay. It's okay.
Well, I think we're going to be together soon, because if your text message is anything to go by, it looks like we have a couple new boards that are ready to be tested together in unison.
We're surfing. We are surfing for sure. Your board feels fucking tiny. And I know that you are not a linebacker, but I fucking think you could be on a couple sets of skis, but we'll see how we go.
I mean, that was kind of the prompt, right? I don't know if we want to give it away who it is, but it's somebody who makes surfboards that they look like they could have come out of the 90s or early 2000s. They're very curvy. Mm. They're long. Yep. They're pointy. They're narrow. So, yeah, I think I've gone under 18 inches in width for the first time in about 15 years.
Wow, so good. My board, on the other hand, feels amazing. So I'm looking forward to surfing that.
Well, there's waves on the way, so that's good for us. We'll get into that soon. Hopefully you and I, and then people will see it when it comes out or whatever. But for now, we're obviously going to talk about Portugal. But first and foremost, we have to talk about Puerto Rico, the home of the 2024 ISA World Games. And I didn't get to watch any of it just because of the time was absolutely fucked. Pretty much when I was waking up in Australia, it was the end of the day over there. But I did wake up every morning excited to see the results, because there's just so many big names in it and there's so many heats going on. It just seems like such chaos. And obviously this event was going to determine, you know, the last or almost the last of the participants in the 2024 Olympics. And it did not disappoint. I think the big one, obviously, is that Gabriel Medina led Team Brazil to not just an individual win, but a team win. And by getting the team win, he got himself an individual slot into Tahiti, which was not like a long shot, but a lot of things had to go their way.
So many things, even down to the final. Like, it was a team victory that was going to clinch the third spot. Team France had two surfers in that final. Cali Vast and Jean Deroux, and all they needed to do was not have them get third and fourth, and that's exactly what happened.
That's wild.
Wild. Medina is a machine.
And he had to win, too.
Yes, and Gabby had to win.
And he won, so he surfed 8 heats in Puerto Rico. As we know, there's the whole, like, repechaje round, whatever you want to call it. So it's double elimination, but Medina not only never lost a heat, which means getting third or fourth, he also never got second in a heat. He won 8 heats straight, 4-man heats in, like, you know, the kind of conditions where, you know, kind of anything can happen to a certain degree. That is so fucking impressive. Like, he just went full Terminator mode. Like, the Gabby that we haven't really seen on tour in a long time seemed to come out in Puerto Rico. So, yeah, that's so impressive, and excited to see what that means for the future. Maybe in Portugal, we'll get to that. But I also want to say that Iago Dora has to be one of the best friends that you could have in your entire life, because as far as I understand it, going into this event, Brazil had already declared that should they get the third slot, it would go to Medina. And that means Iago not being in the Olympics already, because that's Felipe and Joao from last year's 2023 CT standings, Iago had absolutely nothing to gain from participating and competing there, let alone that. But he went and surfed 10 heats. 10 heats through all the repercharge rounds and everything. And that was pretty much just to give Gabby a shot at getting into Tahiti. So I think Gabby owes him certainly a few beers, maybe priority in a couple of CT heats. I don't know. Yeah, what do you think, Stace?
Oh, such a good surfer to have one owed in return. And I think he'll cash it at a very important moment. Like, I can't imagine, but yeah, it won't be a couple of beers. It'll be much more than that, because you know how bad Gabby wanted to be in Tahiti.
Do you think Gabby, though, like in an actual competitive moment, like say it's a CT event or whatever, like do you think Gabby would be able to have that, like basically switch out of the Terminator mode and be like, oh, like he helped me out. Like I kind of have to, you know, give him something here.
It's almost like a credit to how good Yago is that I don't think Gabby would, because they're probably going to be fighting for the same thing, like a final five position or an event win. And in that situation, no, Gabby's not going to give anything up. But for sure, when these younger Brazilian boys were coming through, I seen Adriano dishing out favors on the QS all the time. So I don't think Yago will get it back, but it's only a credit to Yago that he's probably going to be taking something off Gabby that Gabby really wants. But yeah, look, I don't ever see Yago, like, not making the mid-year cut, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where I think it could come into play, but yeah, maybe, you never know.
Yeah, seems unlikely. But anyway, the Brazilian women also won on the team side, so they got an extra spot into Tahiti as well. It's believed that that's going to go to Luana Silva. And yeah, you can see a breakdown on the site of kind of who got what spots from this event and all the other events. You can see all the people who are qualified. And as far as we understand it, the only two spots that really remain to be determined are these quote unquote universality spots, which it's a new thing for the Olympics. I imagine it applies to all sports, or at least many sports, and not just surfing. But in surfing, the way that I understand it is that the ISA is trying to make sure that, you know, some nations that aren't really regarded as major surfing nations get some exposure, which is kind of already happening anyway. If you look at the list of people, like a girl from China made it into the Olympics. So it's kind of already happening. So it will be really interesting to see who they decide to give these to. We're going to be trying to talk with the ISA this week to get an understanding of that. But the real conspiracy going around is that what if they gave that spot to Robert Kelly Slater?
I mean, it's just never over, is it? I mean, I even saw...
Why should it be?
Well, you know, it shouldn't be. No, I agree. It's not really backing the theory, though, of sharing it out equally to nations that don't have representation. But then again, if it's...
Kelly could also go for Team Syria if he wanted to.
There's no way he's doing that.
But, yeah, fuck. I mean, if I'm the ISA, if I'm Fernando, whoever... I don't know who exactly makes this call. Again, we're going to try to figure that out soon. But, like, give him a shot, right? Like, what do you have to lose? Nobody's going to be, like, bummed. Like, what? Some dude from Albania is going to be like, oh, it should have been my spot. Like, no, give it to Kelly. Give him a chance to win an Olympic gold. He'll be 52 years old and has still a legitimate shot to win out at Chopes.
Oh, for sure. The only other person that's getting it is the Nathan Hedgehog Hog Hedge.
No, please don't.
Could go either way. It's flip a coin.
Anyway, anything else from the ISA World Games, Stacey, that you want to get into before we drop into Portugal?
Actually, it's a lie. Just long live Fernando Aguirre. Like, he's just the greatest showman of all time. Love his get-ups, love his enthusiasm, love that he kind of just comes out of nowhere every time to hand over the big novelty checks to say that you're going to the Olympics. It's just great. I just back his whole setup, and I hope Chopes is firing for the Olympics.
Portugal, let's talk about the forecast. There is a story on the site, hopefully by the time that you're hearing this, by Paul Evans, the one and only. He'll be commentating in Portugal, so you'll be able to hear him a lot if you're watching. And Paul did a nice little preview for Portugal. Forecast. Stace, you want to break it down?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not seeing a whole lot in that first week. We're getting some optimistic reports that it might run day one, but I don't even know about that. If they do, I could maybe only see half a day. Super Tubos typically does not like the wind out of the south, and that's kind of what I'm seeing. And then it is going mega. You and your boys are getting your jet skis ready, and you're going to Nazaré, Mikey.
That might be Buck. I'm not going to be there. But yeah, I hope they have fun with that. Yeah, it looks like it's basically going to be off for like 3 to 5 days. There's just one of those giant North Atlantic storms that's going to slam straight into the continent, which is not good for any west-facing beaches like Supertubos. Or, yeah, that's west-facing. Yeah, okay, got it right. Nice. Anyway, a few things about Peniche that I think will play into this forecast is like it's just... It's one of those events that I think you're not picking someone. It's not like Pipeline where you know most of the time people are going to be getting barreled. It's not like Bells where you know that most of the time people are going to be doing carbs. Like, it really is such a, like, just mix and match event. You need to have all the skills, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And it's also kind of fielded us some really interesting winners over the years as a result of that. Like, the person wearing the yellow jersey hasn't won in Peniche since 2016. So the top-rated surfer has not walked away from there a champion in a really long time. And that was John when he won his world title over there. But on the flip side, there is a lot of chance for greatness. So there have been 22 perfect 10s at this event. And there were only 2 years, 2017 and 2018, that didn't feature a perfect 10. And that's obviously come from a combination of big barrels and very big airs. So I don't know, it's an event that I honestly haven't been able to watch all that often due to the time zone. I'm pretty excited to be over in Australia now and be able to tune in the afternoons and evenings. But yeah, Stacey, any other like kind of overview Portugal things that you want
to
get out?
Other than that, it's one of the greatest regions in the world just to surf. Especially that part of the world. It's like going to that event, I know that everyone's psyched, and what they're going to get for those 3 to 5 days is actually the only thing that really stops you from surfing, unless you want to get your tow board out and hit Naz. But I think that you're going to get a real taste of what pure surf enthusiasm looks like, because we get the perfect time zone to watch it here in Australia, and it is absolutely tens and twos. The highlight reel is amazing. But geez, it's a tough wave to surf heats if it's, you know, if the soil direction's not perfect and it's not teepees and it's walled out. Pretty much the only good wave from a couple of years ago, I mean, there's maybe two that I can remember. It's Callum and Griffin, and that's over like 5 days of surfing. So, you know, great event, but you've got to be a real surf fan to indulge in it.
Yeah, and probably a really hard event to bet on as well, which we're going to get into shortly. But Stace, you mentioned something before that this is a really, really important event as far as the cut is concerned. Obviously, it's the third event of five before that cut is drawn. But do you want to explain kind of why you think that it's really important that surfers who don't have a great result yet get one here?
It's almost the cut of the cut. So, you know, like you said, it's the third event of five. And I think a lot of people kind of have this feeling as a rookie, it's the last event where you can get lucky. The ocean sends a perfect TP to you and you're in the spot and you beat John because you got the wave. There you go. The other spots coming up after this, Bell's absolutely is an expert only wave. And then Margaret's is, you know, in a similar vein, and you've really got to know where to sit out there. You've got to know what you're doing. And so if you're a rookie on the tour, and you know, or any surfer for that matter, you know, you really want to try and come out of Portugal with a result if you don't already have one. Because if you're trying to get a couple of nights out of Bell's and Margaret's, that's a tall order.
Yep, agreed. And as of now, there are only two rookies above the cut line on the men's side. That's Crosby Cole Pinto and Jacob Wilcox, and none on the women's. So we know that the cut line historically the past 2 years for the men's basically just been 2/9 and 2/17. So you need to win two man-on-man heats. Jacob and Crosby each have one to their name, and they've got three events left to get another one. So you'd have to like their odds, and those are actually the two surfers that Stace and I chose as Rookie of the Year for this year, so we're looking good there so far. But as he said, anything can happen in Portugal. It truly is just like a wild card event, so that's one thing I'm really excited for, and I'd imagine surfers like Eli Hanneman, Cole Hauschman, Cade Mattson, and so on feel the same, as well as Alyssa Spencer and Sawyer Lindblad on the women's side. So with all of that said, Stacey, we saw the forecast. It looks small the first day, then giant and stormy, then potential for some decent waves after that, but the general consensus is not great. And we've given you a lay of the land, so is it time to get into some overdogs?
Overdogs. Well, it's a tricky one because there's a lot of really good surfers that have a lot of really good variety, which is like what you mentioned, what they need to win this event. But I think, Mikey, it's going to be hard to stop a yellow-jerseyed John Florence in the men's side.
Whoa. Okay, so you're going against the stats. Stats say that no one's done it in 8 years, but that person to do it was John John. So maybe you have that going for you.
Yeah, I mean, and also too, like, I think I don't like those kind of stats. They just annoy me.
What kind of stats do you like?
Long ones over long periods of time.
Ah, okay. Got it.
Too short of a sample size.
Like Bitcoin. Like you knew Bitcoin was coming back because you've been following the four-year trend.
You know what? I actually have. I'm fucking sick of Kyle Walsh getting rich, and I'm like, I want to get on that train too.
Well done. All right, so John John for Stace for his overdog. I'm between two overdogs right here, but you know what? I went with him in pipe, and it didn't pay off. But he is a new man. He has just won the 2024 ISA World Games. He has just become a 2024 Olympic member. And I am going back with Gabriel Medina. I think his rebirth begins now after 2 17ths in Hawaii. Medina's season starts in Portugal.
I think that everything is okay in the world, Mikey, minus a few things that aren't. But for us to have John and Gabby as the overdogs, it's just... Gee, that rolls off the tongue.
It does feel really nice. Fuck, that's beautiful. All right, what about women? Who you got?
Overdogs in the women. I just can't go past Betty Lou Sakura Johnson. I thought she was so impressive in Hawaii. I'm just like, I'm right on the Betty Lou train at the moment. Mikey, I think she's absolutely ripping.
What if you see a Slater design under her arm? Does that change your opinion?
No, because I think like mixing up with shapers is ultimately what you... should be doing at that age and that time in your career, and I think it should be applauded, and I think that more people should do it. And if you bring those new feelings and new experiences back to the boards that you ultimately trusted for a long time, I think it'd only be better for everyone involved, you know, the shaper that you've been with and then the shaper that, you know, had you jump on their boards. Like, I think it's a win-win for everyone. Obviously, every shaper is going to want to secure a talent like Betty Lou, and someone's going to be upset no matter where she goes. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to know, Mikey, do you think there's a room in this day and age for the Andy approach of just fucking ride whatever feels the best at the time?
Oh, yeah, Sam wrote about that in his piece that went up on the site yesterday, that Julian was doing that as well at that time that we ran the first Stab in the Dark with him. And it's nobody's pulled that off in a long time, so it would be pretty fascinating. Although I suppose if you do ride for Slater Designs... / Firewire / whatever you want to call it, the company, like, you have access to a lot of different shapers under that same label. So I don't know if Betty Lou was always on Tokoro's or if she rode different guys all under the Slater Designs label, but all I know is she looked fucking unbelievable on that Paizel in Super Tubos, in Sunset, and at Super Tubos, which is also a really powerful wave. I think she could harness some of that PU power as well. So I love that pick for you, Stacey. I went back-to-back with Molly at Sunset, and that paid off for me. So I'm going to go back-to-back this time with Katie in Portugal, another young female surfer who has been sampling a lot of different boards. She was obviously on the Arakawa in Sunset. She rode a Borst in Puerto Rico. I would imagine she's going to be riding a Borst in Portugal as well. But only time will tell. Regardless of what she rides, she's my overdog. I think she's going to win.
Yeah, hard to argue with that one. This is where she proved her place on the tour. I don't think anyone doubted her talent, but it was always going to be a question, I think, for a lot of us. Is like, okay, how's she going to go when the waves get head high and really have that grunt and power? And she absolutely dominated when she won the event. Was last year, right?
Yeah, last year. And she's just fearless. Like,
it was pumping. It was huge. Yeah, you're right. She's so courageous and just smashing huge end sections. And it was like, it was then and there, you're like, okay, she's... Any questions you had about her ability in conditions like that were answered just in one event.
Yep, tubes, got it. Big turns on big sections, got it. And obviously, as much technical skill as you could ask for if they do run in smaller surf. So, again, that's what it takes in Portugal, is just that versatility. Katie's got it probably more than any other woman on tour. So that's where we're going. But overdogs, you know, they get the win sometimes. But I think what everybody really likes to hear about are the underdogs.
That's right, Mikey. You are in Australia, the home of the underdog. And when you're an underdog, the thing is to never become an overdog, because that's when we all turn our back on you. That's what I love about America, and that's why it's perfect that Kelly Slater is American, because he's got 11 world titles, and I reckon he'd still have the same amount of froth if he had 22 world titles.
What about Steph and Lane?
Maybe tall poppy syndrome. This is a question, actually. Does tall poppy syndrome only exist in male sport culture or male culture?
Ah, interesting. I don't know.
I'm sure the girls got sick of watching Steph win. I didn't. But I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Yeah. Or does tall poppy syndrome only exist if you're a dickhead? No, okay, underdogs. Wow. I guess, yeah, it's such a great year on both sides where you're voting for Gabby and John as favourites, and then Betty Lou as a favourite, when typically you'd probably think of her as someone like an underdog. So that's really cool. Shows where the sport's at. Underdogs for the women. Mikey, I'm going to throw you a hospital pass here. I'll kind of need to think about this one a bit longer.
Okay, so I'm going to go an underdog that any other time in the last 10 years probably would have been an overdog. Tyler Wright. She has started the season with two really bad results in Hawaii. I think she's currently maybe even below the cut line or right there at least. So yeah, I think Tyler needs to turn it around, and she is just one of those surfers who can kind of like put her head down and grind through heats, and I think that's what it's going to take in Portugal. She's going to need a few things to go her way. But she can absolutely do it. And yeah, so she's my underdog.
I like it. I'm going to go a similar train of thought there. Just won the ISA World Games in Puerto Rico. It's been a while since she's been on the podium. I'm going to go Tatiana Weston Webb.
Wait, hold on. Okay, I just got so confused. She didn't. Well, I guess she did kind of win the ISA World Games, but I thought you were going to say Sally, who actually won the ISA World Games.
Oh, wow. And I guess if Tatiana just did good in the ISA World Games, she was just on the podium. So I guess that's also a bit weird. I'm going Tatiana. I thought I saw a photo of her getting jet up the beach, but no, it was Sal.
Poor Sally, man. How many times? Sally's won 4 ISA World Games. I think she's had how many runner-ups to the world title?
4 or 3.
Right. So let's just say 4. So that's basically like 8 almost world titles.
I got handed the craziest stat of Sally one year when we were commentating at Margaret River. It had like career heat percentage wins, or it was career average score. And her career average score, I think it was higher than Carissa's.
No way. Just the unluckiest surfer alive?
Just didn't happen in the heats that mattered.
Well, sorry, Sal. Anyway, though. Oh, we haven't done our male underdogs. Who's your male underdog?
Oh, true. Okay. It's all about the chicks this year, Mikey, mate. Don't you know that?
It is, I know. Seriously. Like, even like unconsciously, like we just go there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, do we pick like Griffin and that young pack of surfers? Does that qualify as an underdog, even though that he was defending champ?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think you can go defending champ as underdog.
Okay, I love how you make up these rules on the spot. I'm going to go Baron Mamiya as an underdog. I think it'll need to be a bit more on the solid side for him to go all the way, and I'm a bit scared to throw out that call with pretty much not even a look at the forecast, because I reckon we're going to be off for a week, and then it's going to hopefully get pretty fun, but that could change a lot, you know, so we're not too sure, but Baron's pretty versatile, so I'm going to go Baron.
Okay, cool. Baron's had a couple CT wins already, one of them this year. I'm going with somebody who has never won a CT event, but is absolutely due, and I think this event is right up his alley. Mr. Gabriel Medina's best friend himself, Iago Dora.
He has definitely had a CT win, and it was in Brazil.
Oh, fuck me. God damn it. And it's, you know what? I picked him there too. I should fucking know that. He was my underdog in Brazil. God damn it.
No, it's a good pick. It's a good pick. He's due for another one. He's had such a, interesting and I guess great show of resilience, like where he was on fire, then he blew his leg to smithereens and come back and he's still on fire. Like the chances of him having an injury like that and just coming back and kind of just being mid-pack for the remainder of his career is so high. You know, injuries like that at that time can really knock people about, but he's you know, he's just come back on so strong and obviously just missed out in the final five last year, but he's looking gnarly, and for sure he's due to be back in the winner's circle for sure. He's insane talent.
All right, well, thank you for pulling me up on that misstatement of fact. One other question that I have, Stacey, there's a name that has been sort of just like lingering in my mind that I can't figure out if he's just going through this like crazy sort of mid-career slump or if he's kind of like had his moment. And that is the defending Olympic gold medalist, former Portugal winner two-time, I believe, Italo Ferreira. Like, is Italo's reign, is it over? Was it that short-lived? Or is he just like waiting for something to spark him back to life? And could Portugal be that event?
For sure Portugal could be that event. It suits his surfing style beautifully. And yeah, it could definitely be this event.
That was a very non-answer answer, but thank you. All right, so now...
No, you asked me two questions in one. That was your problem.
That's true. I can help you with that. That is like the interviewer's fucking plight. Like, you can't do that. It's like number one rule of question asking.
You never compliment a surfer, and you never ask two questions at once. I'm still learning the first one. But look, yes, he also is going through a mid-career, for sure. Like, it's the thing with the champions, which he is an absolute champion of surfer. Like, you have to keep reinventing yourself, even if it's just a look or a spray or something. He's got a new sticker up the nose that might help. Surfing wise, he's still got some areas I think where he just maybe one less Red Bull could help him out a bit. He's, you know,
what about the self portrait on all of his surfboards of him in the the sunshine, the eclipse.
I back it. I think, like, you look at what, like, I don't want to put Italo in the same vein as MR, but like if you look at the self-promotion that the lads had to do back in the day, it was bloody amazing. Like, MR used to have his name on his weddies. Bring it back.
Yeah, I guess it hasn't worked for Slater so far, but you never know. You never know. Fernando could be hooking him up.
Kind of working for the Kurs.
All right. That's overdogs, underdogs. Those are our picks. Let's get into a little bit of gamble.
I'm just going to say it now. You're due to lose, and it has to be this event. You're going way too well.
I know. Fuck, it's scary. It's really scary. I'm like, Icarus and Daedalus just flying way too close to the sun. But we got to keep pushing.
Hey, you are... You are staying at Mr. Tom Bird's house, which is going to be great because he's going to be over your shoulder this whole event. And it's at night time too. So you guys are going to be cracking a bottle of red, sending the missos out for dinner. The TV surfing's going to have the TV on. That fucking made no sense. The TV is going to have the surfing on. And it's going to be an absolute detonation of that bank account.
He gives me so much grief. Like, he thinks I bet, like, such a pansy. I'm like, does he not know I'm betting $1,000 on John Florence to make $100?
At $1.10?
Yeah. God, I don't know what I have to do.
Like, hey.
Anyway.
Wait until you see what's possible out here with the parlays. You're going to lose your mind.
That's true. Oh, do I need to? You know I'm a loyalist to betonline.ag. Like, they're my day ones. I started.
Hey, you're going to have to get a VPN.
Yeah, I have one. I'm all set up. Don't worry about that. I already made my picks. I'm going to lay some picks out that I have here. So they don't have, as of the time of recording, they don't have the round one odds up yet. But the round one heat draw is up. So I think I always like to pick one or two people that I think are going to be good value in that first round. So usually somebody wearing a white jersey who I think has a decent chance to actually win their heat and could be a decent payout. So on the men's side for that one, I just named him. I bet against him really hard in Hawaii, but we're not in Hawaii anymore. I'm going to go David Silva over the two Hawaiians, Barron and Imai. I think if he surfs that first day and the waves are small and he connects on a couple right-handers, I think he could put those two to sleep easily.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, actually. He's definitely got a big backside combo on him. It's kind of hard to go past Emi's variety, though. So we'll see how you go on that one.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. And then,
and Baron, for that matter. Like, Baron Dylan's huge airs is definitely going to beat two backside turns. But I wish you all the best.
Yeah, but Baron's so hit or miss. Baron, to me, is like, he's like the epitome of like tens or twos. So I'm just like, yeah, if he hits, sure, whatever, it happens. But I think the kind of the smart play there is David. I know Emi's amazing too, but three-man heats are almost impossible. Like, you're kind of just throwing money into the wind in reality. I think I usually end up around even or losing in the first round of most events, so I probably shouldn't even bet, but it's too fun not to, especially when you see some of the odds that pop up. So it's kind
of, you have to pick the whole round. Oh, excuse me. You have to get Brendan Buckley to pick the whole round. Tell us what it is so that we can ride that home so that you have to give him your whole account. As astute listeners of the podcast will know from last week's episode.
Oh, well, tune in because we are, it's already been filmed. He's made the picks. I don't know if we can drop them in here just due to timing, but they're going to be on our betonline.ag preview for the event, which will go onto YouTube. And yeah, it's kind of Buckley. It's kind of an alter ego, but yeah, it's still the 12-man pick is there. And again, if he hits it, I will give him the entire BetOnline account that I have. And it's a decent chunk of change. So you'll hear the number if Buck does hit it. Let's say that. All right. So that was David Silva. I really like that heat. Throw a little bit of cash on him. It'll probably pay out pretty good if it happens. On the women's side, I'm going to go Sawyer Lindblad over Betty Lou and Lakey. Obviously, the reason that you're thinking, oh, you know, Betty Lou's been surfing so good and like Lakey is a veteran, like how is Sawyer going to win? And it's, yeah, it's hard. That's why the odds are going to be what the odds are going to be. And it's going to pay really well if Sawyer wins. But she is a really good technical fast beach break surfer. That's how she got onto the CT. And I think if a few things go her way, she can easily get a win out there as well.
Yeah, I agree. This wave at that size has like real QS elements to it. And that's where, you know, the rookies, they need to have a good swing here. This is absolutely the event where someone like Sawyer or Alyssa Spencer could jag a big result.
So you can go on to the piece that Paul wrote on the site and scroll to the bottom for my full Gamble Ramble event winner picks breakdown. But I did throw money on more people than the ones mentioned here. I kind of like, on this event in particular, I really like to sort of like spread my seeds pretty wide because it's just such a random event and there's so many people who could win. And I'd rather just have a little cash everywhere than try to go super hard on one person who may very well lose in the round of 32. So anyway, if you want more of that info, you can find it on the site. But yeah, other than that, Stacey, anything else we missed or you want to go through?
This weekend up at Burley Heads, Mikey, lock it in your diary, black out the calendar. I don't care if Panisha's on. The ABB, it's actually perfect. ABB, Australian Board Riders Battle final all day into Panisha at night. So you got
the never-ending surf event. This is like my dream. Can you bet on the Board Riders event? Where do I sign up?
I reckon we could maybe. It's pretty close to the Gold Coast Turf Club. Like, you know, realistically speaking, if you count the whole world. So I reckon we could probably get some bookies from the Turf Club down to the beach side. We could even maybe set you up a little stand, actually.
That'd be great. Maybe I'll be the house this time. People can make bets against me.
I reckon with a few Aussies on the point, with a couple of beverages under the belt, I reckon you might do all right.
All right. Well, Stacey, I'll see you there, and we will chat after Portugal.
See you soon, Mikey.
Thanks for tuning in once again. We'll check in with you after the completion of the Portugal event. And can you believe it? The Australian leg is just around the corner. So plenty coming up in contest season. Catch you soon.